Welcome to the Heather Andrews Show. Heather is a best-selling author, story coach, and supports entrepreneurs who want to write a best-selling book so they can leverage their influence and impact on the world. And now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Welcome to our show, everyone. I'm Heather Andrews, your host, and I help entrepreneurs write and create their best-selling book, along with this podcast to bring all good topics to you to help you increase your awareness and your learnings, to help live you live your better life. Today we have Leslie Evans, and she is just going to help us talk about all things stress, overwhelm in a really different and unique fashion so that you can take the best of both worlds, holistic and traditional, and really make those choices that work best for you. Welcome to our show, Leslie. I'm super excited to have you here.
Thank you. I am honored to be here with you.
Perfect. And we'll just start with probably the top and most recent thing, and then we'll delve a little bit into your backstory, is that I understand that you released your best-selling book in May. Awesome. Congratulations. And it's called Defunk Yourself. And so let's just start there. Defunk Yourself. What does that mean to you?
Okay. So, and interestingly, you know, when looking for a title, we want something that's catchy and all of that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, let me even go back a little bit further. In January of 2020, I was diagnosed with vertigo. And so everything I knew, 29 years in my career as a psychiatric nurse therapist, helping my kids, you know, being supportive of my mom, everything that I was and, you know, thought my roles were in life was gone in that moment. I could not even sometimes get out of bed because the vertigo was so bad. And then COVID came. And so all of those things that I was doing to try and find out what was causing the vertigo were gone as well, because they shut down everything at that point. And my anxiety heightened and my guilt over not being there for everybody in the way that I knew I could be. And after a few months, I said, okay, enough is enough. Let's turn off the news. Let's just be quiet. And I sat down and I just said, okay, universe, what you have stopped me absolutely, completely. What is going on here? And so as it is that I find when you finally surrender to what the universe is trying to teach you, synchronicities happen. And part of those synchronicities, and I thought about this for a while, because being a psychiatric nurse for almost, 30 years now, I had a lot of experience working with people. I wanted to share that. I wanted to give some good back to the world when I couldn't do it in the way I was regularly used to. So I was connected with somebody who helped me kind of put my words down on paper and publish it. So Defunk Yourself is what arose from that. And it's really a lot of those steps I've taught people over the years, but the steps that I used myself to move from that state of anxiety and overwhelm when I had that vertigo to getting back on track with knowing life could be whatever I wanted it to be.
Perfect. I love it. And I'm glad that you shared your story with the world. And I think that also just having that that bravery to share your vulnerability of that no place to go ideology, you're right, like synchronicity does happen. And also when we take that, and I've seen it a lot with my publishing company, and the stories that people have told me is when they have their biggest breakthroughs is when they stop when they take a look, stop, look, and choose. They take a step, they stop, they look, and then they just kind of, you know, pause, and they do that inter-soul searching, those soul searching questions. And it's amazing what comes out of that space. And so I'm really happy that did you get over your vertigo with your techniques that you were using?
No. So way better. I can get up and I can do lots of things. I just have to be careful with what I'm doing. So vertigo still keeps me from you know, going back to work where I was working. And I'm just more careful, but it's not so debilitating. I live a great life and I can share my experience with the world in a way that I truly want to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's just that ever evolving, right? Because we know that there's other ways to heal and be aware. And I love how you have brought in the 30 years of that professional nurse and that experience. And then you've added in these other holistic tools to help create the magical solution, I guess. and stuff. So with that, can you share a little bit about what it is when you say like the modern versus the magical tools and how you really blend those? That's what I would love and our listeners would love to hear.
Okay. We were talking about this, that often with the modern medicine, which is what a lot of people would consider traditional. So the medical world, it's very focused on medicine and medical and leaves out this whole other world that's been around for centuries of connecting with spirit or connecting with your higher self. Part of this journey that I've been on has been knowing that, you know, what I was teaching people was great and they're great tools within that cognitive behavioral therapy piece. And it's still not the whole picture. And so in the looking over the past 10 years, especially, but over the last 2 years, just really being allowing my intuition to guide me where I could blend this. It's guided me to the Akashic Records.
Okay.
And so the Akashic Records, for those of you that don't know, just a quick explanation is that Akasha is where you find where your soul's journey has taken. So the journey over your lifetimes, things that have, you know, things that can impact your lifetime now. And so for me, it's an amazing blend when I speak with somebody from their Akashic Records. I get the wisdom of their soul's journey that I can kind of give them a few things that either might have been a past lifetime that's impacting now or things that they're not aware of that are impacting them now. And then using those CBT tools can help them to take those small steps to forward.
Yeah, I love that. And it's the Akashic Records is such an interesting place because I think I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine was learning the Akashic Records and there was something about there was something in there about, and this might be, I think it was the Akashic Records or maybe it was something a little bit different, but she said that my two sons were actually brothers in a previous life. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah.
And that would likely be Akashic. Yeah.
Yeah. And that my daughter was a part of my life previously too. And she was the one that was my driving force to always encourage me to do more. Mm-hmm. I remember actually crying a little bit because I was like, no, I'm on mission and I'm on path because of these three kids. And so it was just interesting to me to see what came out of that and how it drove and how it drives forward, because it gives you the hope, right? And it gives you the, okay, I am supposed to be on this and I'm not crazy for feeling this way.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. But it is when you first start kind of having those intuitions or those thoughts and you're like, oh, I'm feeling like I don't really know what's going on or maybe I'm looking too much into this. It's often your intuition or your higher self or whatever you want to call it, spirit, Mother Earth, whatever way you label that, is talking to you and guiding you in those ways. And I love how you talked about that the souls that are part of your life have been together with you in other lifetimes. And that often happens. We kind of connect with souls throughout our lifetimes that we've connected in previous lifetimes too. Yeah. It's so amazing.
It is amazing. And the one thing that I've learned out of, like, I've always kind of had that red flag. I remember when I got married the first time and we were approaching our wedding day and this is just an intuition story because it's just funny. And I remember going, why am I marrying this man? Like, I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life with him. But then your mind starts going and you're like, okay, but my mom and dad have already paid for the wedding and my, and this and that. And oh my goodness, like we've invited all these people and I'm going to look so stupid because I'm 19 years old and I've profaned my love for this man. And you know, we've invited 300 people to this wedding and I'm sitting there going, but I don't want to marry him, but I married him. Mm-hmm. And 4 years later we were divorced.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I think if we'd listened to our intuition along the way, it's easy to look back and say, oh, I had those thoughts at that time. Right. And I can say, I'm lucky enough now to be married to a wonderful man, my soulmate. And I can tell you the way I felt first time I got married to this time were way different because I had similar things. Oh, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. But the same thing, I was 21. Oh, everybody's here. You can't do that. No, that's just your cold feet. Right. And I don't ever regret doing that. I have three beautiful girls from that. And I have a lifetime of learning of that. Life isn't just about self-sacrifice, which is sort of what all that led to. Life isn't about self-sacrifice and giving everything you have to everybody around you, you know, tolerating behavior, all of those things. It isn't about that. I learned that in that whole journey. And now that journey is what, allows me to help others with that same, feeling like you come last.
Yeah.
So I don't regret it. And I also know that little thing in your head was saying,
Yeah. Well, and I think that it was meant to happen that way. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you have, as you said, your three beautiful daughters. And the one thing that I think that I've learned is in all of the things that we do, and it was stressful. Those years were stressful. And I'm blessed that I had them because it took me to Saudi Arabia because, to get out of the marriage, it was like, I'm leaving, I'm out, I'm going away. Like we're just done. And I got on the plane to Saudi Arabia and I went and worked as an X-ray tech in Riyadh. And awesome. From there I met some amazing people. And then I met the man that I was married to for 25 years and we have three beautiful, kids but we're not together anymore either. And it's just that journey. And I never look at anything as a failure because I do believe that some of us are meant to be married for 60 years and others of us have other work to do. Mm-hmm. And we raised our children. We did our best and worst. And the biggest piece is that we modeled the way for our kids to say like, hey, you can still come out of a divorce friends, because we went down to our son's band thing together, and that's because you do talk about the souls and we're supposed to meet those souls along the way. So mm-hmm. I'm super excited and thank you for spending some time on the Akashic Records because I know that there's a lot of knowledge there and I just know that it's a very untapped resource. So I would love to encourage people to reach out to you because there's so many aha moments in it. And I think that, checking that in is just such a great space because I think you get a lot of answers from that.
It is really, over this journey, there was a time where I was surprised by synchronicities or the knowledge that comes. I'm not surprised anymore. I'm always amazed at this, that we have access to all, every one of us has access to that. We are the divine. We are all connected. And we all have that access.
That's beautiful. I love it. And so if somebody was to come to you and want their Akashic records and just say, like, Leslie, I'm in a real funk. I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do. And I'm stressed. And I'm just ready for more, but I don't know what it is and I'm supposed to do. How would you take them through some of that with the modern and the holistic?
And the woo woo. Modern and the woo woo. Yeah, I love it. The magical, and it is magical, right? So for me, when I first meet somebody, often the first question I'll ask is, okay, so you made this appointment, but what were you looking for? And just like you said, I'm in this funk. I don't know where to go next. So I'll ask permission. Do you want me to go into your Akashic records? And so we'll go in together. I'll go into the Akashic records and we'll see what they have to say. And what I find with the Akashic records is that they tell me what that person needs to know in that moment. So it could be about a past lifetime. It just could be about something that's going on right now that they're either not aware of, or they're just not facing. And so we'll see what the Akashic Records has to say. And with my mentor, Deanne Rendreau, who we've been working very closely, we talked a lot about that. I feel like, I keep kind of going over the steps like I did in therapy. And she says, that's because that's your specialty. The Akashic Records has specialties too. And so that is my specialty. That's why I spent those 30 years doing that and learning those tools to be able to take what the Akashic Records is telling you. And I tell it just what I'm hearing. So sometimes it doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll just say, okay, they just told me this and I don't know why. And that other person will go, oh, well, that makes sense to me. So I don't filter what I'm getting out of the Akashic Records, just whatever I'm hearing. And then we just start to talk about, okay, what steps can you take next? And often those are kind of guided by my experience in therapy as a therapist. Mm-hmm. So small steps, just taking your time, mm-hmm. having grace with yourself. Sometimes it's learning how to bring your emotions down in the moment so you can be truly effective. Mm-hmm. I'm a mindfulness geek. I love mindfulness. I love talking about mindfulness. So it might be just talking about that mindfulness piece, mm-hmm. which is just about being in the moment.
And I think everybody is in such, I think not everybody, but some people have had, we've just come out through the big COVID, the big P, the big pandemic, and we're still in it kind of. And there's new things happening in the world every day. And it's really easy for people to be overwhelmed and stressed and, but not necessarily wanting to dive into some of these other things, but yet you can help them move through that stress and chaos and overwhelm. And I love how you bring in the mindfulness, because it's just sometimes we don't always have control over how we feel. Or what comes up for us in those moments. So what would sort of be one of the top three key tips that you would offer someone to really sort of be into that space of learning how to cope with some of the things that they might be feeling?
Right. Well, I mean, you skimmed over a few of them. First of all, the awareness is key. Mm-hmm. So really being aware of how you're feeling without judgment. Mm-hmm. So like you said, we're not always in control, and really your feelings or your moods are what they are. And all of that is good. I don't look at moods as positive and negative, or, good or bad. And I think we need to take those labels off of them. They might be comfortable and uncomfortable, But every mood is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So building that awareness and not judging the moods that we're having.
Yeah.
Is a really, is the first step, I believe, in just starting to make the change that you want to make the change. So building that awareness, learning how to bring strong emotions down in the moment is another important thing. So when we feel things, often we don't really acknowledge it until it's really strong. And at that point, it's harder to take down. Yeah. So the awareness piece is about learning how to feel those emotions at lower levels or before they get to that strong point. So we can start working on it then, mm-hmm. rather than waiting until they're really strong.
Yeah.
So that's the one tip, is just really being aware of where you're at, using those things like breathing. Breath work is a huge thing. Being in the moment. There's lots of grounding exercises you can find on the internet. We just definitely don't have enough time for me to go over all of them now. and then really, learning how to connect with your higher self. So that's about learning how to be okay in the stillness and the quietness. And actually learning to love that piece where you can hear what your higher self or spirit or your intuition is saying to you, which is also one of those things that brings your emotion down. And then we talk about that behavioral piece. So if you're feeling in a funk or you're feeling like, I just don't even want to get out of bed these days, because it can get to that. It's really about taking those small, small steps. So if I use the example of kitchen, that you've had a party and you go into the kitchen and it's a disaster and you look in there and you say, I can't possibly do this. And you turn around and you walk out again. Because it's too big, break it down. So then you go in, okay, I'm just going to do this corner. Okay, where do these things go? Yeah. And then when I'm done with this corner, I'm just going to do this corner. And if that corner seems too big, then break it down further. Okay, I'm just going to take this one object off the counter and decide what to do with it.
Yeah.
So breaking it down into really small steps, because I find when people are like, but I can't even take that first step. Okay, then the first step is too big. Let's break it down further.
Yeah.
And just take those small, consistent steps.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is all about your thoughts. So challenging those thoughts and that definitely takes some time and some learning to do that, to learn how to challenge your guilty thoughts, your guilty thoughts, your anxious thoughts, when you're hard on yourself, all of those thoughts, mm-hmm. Learning how to challenge those is really, really important. You know, the way I do it with is evidence-based. So you can look at it and you can say, no, there's really evidence that does not support this thought. That's the process that I'll take you through over time with doing that. So honestly, I think one of my top tips is having grace with yourself.
Yeah.
And grace with others around. We're all learning. We're all figuring out this whole fear and anxiety in the world these days. We're all trying to figure it out for ourselves, but really having grace with yourself that you're not going to do everything right all the time. And that's okay.
Yeah. It's such a big space. And I think one of the biggest pieces that I learned in all of this was having the grace and being kind to self. And then one of the other things that really came for me was when I'm meant to be happy and it's okay to own that. And mm-hmm. not every person, whether they love you or not, is going to be, you know, that one that does it for you. You have to have a good sense of what you want and stand in that space. And when you talk about the thoughts, and I love how you add the evidence to that, you know, because so often we think I'm not worthy enough or I'm not good enough, but yet you know, you might have a career that is really good, you know, that you might be in a career that, you know, is paying you well, and you might feed yourself worth that way. But yet, you know, it's evidence that you are good enough and you are talented and you are beautiful and you are smart and you are many things and driven. But just because, and it's that unhappiness that causes that feeling of unworthiness, because it's like, I should feel different about this. And then that guilt kicks in, right? And you're like, ah. And then you end up in that chaos. And I call it the chaotic spin, because it's just to keep feeding yourself.
It is. It's so, you know, we just put ourselves in a tailspin.
Yeah.
I call it the rabbit hole. You know, like, it just keeps going. And then you keep, what if, what if, what if, what if I hadn't, what if I had, you know, all of those things. And really that what if is all about the future. And that's often where that anxiety piece comes in. The what if I had, what if I hadn't, or I should have, or I shouldn't have, is all about ruminating about the past. And that's often where your depression piece comes in. And so that's why mindfulness is so important. Mm-hmm. Because that is truly the only place that we are alive in, that we can feel. We can, you know, we can look around, or, you know, we're in our bodies, is only in this moment. And so the mindfulness component isn't just about meditating and all of those things. Mindfulness is about being in this moment.
And I think it's a I think one of the key statements that I think I ever heard, and it was from Tony Robbins, and I think that was a pivotal moment for me as I stood in the room of 15,000 people, you know, whatever it was. And it was something around it was like, you settle for what you tolerate, or you tolerate for what you settle for. And it's good both ways, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's like, okay, so am I going to stay in a mediocre job? Am I going to stay in a marriage where I feel alone, or can I pivot this in some way and step into, or sweep it and not sweep it under the rug? Because difficult conversations are very difficult to have. Nobody likes conflict. Ooh. And, you know, and, but yet there's ways to word things to have a different outcome when you, if you want something different. And, but it's not easy. And it's just not easy, but it requires a level of awareness when you go into those conversations.
Yeah.
Because you can't react to, you know, cause you're almost, in some ways, you're fighting for your soul. Like, you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you bring up a few really good points in there, in that, it's not just okay to be happy. That is your birthright. To be happy. Striving for happiness is a good thing. And really, part of our learnings along the way is all about kind of being happy. And I think a lot of us say, why am I not happy? I should be happy in this moment. I got everything I wanted, right? The old saying goes, you should all over yourself. And put the should stick away, stop beating yourself with it. It's okay. If you're not happy in this moment, that's okay. Find your happiness. Yeah. And you're right. Difficult conversations are not easy, and they're necessary. The other piece of that is that difficult conversations don't always go the way we want them to. Even when our intentions are to be kind, to be true to ourselves, and knowing that we are just not in control of other people's thoughts or behaviors. Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, if we've gone into it knowing that you've had the best intentions to be kind and to be open, then that's okay. Then the other person just might not be able to meet you there.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's like I said, there's so many moving pieces to, you know, to the stress, the anxiety, the overwhelm. And as you say, like, it's awareness. And if you can manage get intimate with yourself in how you react to things and how you feel when certain things happen and just take note. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the one thing that I've learned the most in doing this work is the, cause I, you know, from a healthcare perspective, right? Cause I mean, we both come out of the healthcare realm and, you know, I always call it, I've lived in mock code for 30 years because it's frontline and you walk in and you go, okay, what's going to happen today? You
know, it's always next.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always, okay. And then you have that reactive and then the patient doesn't do so well. And then you're over here and then you're over there and then you're back over here. And then all of a sudden everybody's in the emergency room and, you know, and, or, you know, or a patient has a bad night on the psychiatry ward. And, you know, and it just totally pivots you too, because you don't know what's coming. And that was my natural state. I dealt with everything from that state until I stepped into management. And then it was like, yes. Okay, now I have to be proactive and be thinking ahead and be solution based so that I can make decisions, because I've got 60 people watching me now. And I've got, you know, five bosses that are looking at me going, what are you going to do with this? And it completely changes how you react and how you think. And then we got, and then you start your own company. And that's a whole other ball of wax. Mm-hmm. And, but the one thing that you can only do is monitor how you show up to that. And that is the true essence of everything that you teach.
Yes. Yep, it's just really about awareness. And there's a couple of really good points that you bring up there, Heather, in that, you know, you and I have done a lot of work on this. So we can say, yeah, I'm aware and all of that kind of stuff. But know that it takes time to become aware and it takes small steps. You don't just suddenly say, okay, I'm going to be aware, and then the awareness is there. And so it's really important not to feel like just because you're not aware that you can't be or that you won't be.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I teach that. There's lots of people out there that teach you how to become aware. So don't take it on that. I can't be aware. No, you can be. It just is learning how to look for those things.
Yeah.
And it's small steps. Giving yourself grace, even when you say we've done a lot of training, we don't always get it right. We don't always show up in the way we want to, right?
Yeah.
So giving yourself grace that you don't always show up in the way you want to, and that's okay. Yeah. But you don't have to do that the next day or the next hour.
Yeah.
You can take a break and come back in the way you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that those are really important things.
I love it. Is
that it takes time and work to get to that point where you can feel like you have more awareness.
Yeah. And I think that the more, and I also believe that for a long time, you know, and I'm just going to go down the healthcare realm because that's the world that we know.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, but I mean, everybody's dealing with stress. Mm-hmm. And we all think that we have to, even in healthcare, we think that we have to have the answers because we're deemed, we're supposed to know how to look after ourselves. Yes. But we have gone into this profession to serve. And just like being an entrepreneur, we've gone into this profession to serve,
mm-hmm.
and help others. And remember that you've got to just help yourself first, right? And I think that's the hardest piece. But, you know, and this is also like, there's more mainstream coming out of, you know, learning, you know, soul's work, meditation, stopping, looking, breathing, all of these things. I remember sitting in a course with healthcare workers, and the lady said, and it was on resiliency. Mm-hmm. And she said, how many of you do breath work? I was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been learning for 6 years, and I've done over, you know, however many hours of transformational work, because I felt defunct, literally.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I love the work that you do. And I'm just so grateful that you have shared all your, you know, so much of your wisdom today.
Thank you.
You know, and just from, you know, the background of, you know, what you've gone through and your own health challenge. And I'm glad that it's getting better for you and you're more aware and, you know, and you're still doing this great work to serve your clients and our listeners. And I think that it's just, you know, it's one step at a time. It just is.
And that is the way. Keep it simple, one step at a time. But I really want to make a comment on what you talked about there, being in the healthcare industry for 30 years, about serving. Many people mistake being of service to people as self-sacrifice. And that is not the same thing. Taking care of yourself allows you to be more of service to others in a state that allows you to help people to get to where they want to be or they need to be.
Yeah, I love that. Perfect. And so how about we just leave it there for today? Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Leslie. Where can our listeners find you on internet, social media?
Okay, well, you can find me on my website, which is www.riseofthephoenix.org.
Okay.
You can also book a 20-minute free Akashic reading with me if you would like that. And that should be on that website up at the top corner. There'll be book a reading. You can find it there. And on Facebook, I'm Leslie T. Evans. So you're welcome to come and join me there.
Excellent. And her book is on Amazon. It's called Defunk Yourself. It was a bestseller. So if you are in a funk and you are looking for answers, go find her website, riseofthephoenix.org. Book your call. You will be amazed at the Akashic record reading or the amazing expertise that you receive from her. And go check out her book, Defunk Yourself, because it truly is one of the best things to help you step one of getting out of the funk that you might be in. Thank you to our listeners. I'm Heather Andrews, and I will see you on the other side of your own story.
Heather's personal wish is that you embrace the power of your story so you can be seen, heard, and leverage your impact on the world while inspiring others, letting them know they are not alone. If you would like to find out more about Get You Visible, please go to www.getyouvisible.com. where you can also access our free writing course called Write Now. Sign up today. Thank you for listening.